Shalom, Jeffrey Seif here, and we are going to take a look at Parashat Mitzvah, Leviticus 14 and 15. I'm going to talk to you about something that I've entitled The Relationship Between Bad Speech and Infectious Disease. Sounds a little scary. Let's get into it. When introducing me as a guest speaker at Congregation Mayim Chaim on April the 13th, 2024, Rabbi David Tokajer quipped, quote, "I'm glad Rabbi Jeffrey Seif is here to talk about Parashat Tsariah, because I'd rather not." This was the reading the week before. My hunch personally is the reluctance expressed in jest had nothing to do with his being afraid of Leviticus 12 and 13, as much as it did with the fact that the passages in both last week's and this week's readings, last week being Leviticus 12 and 13, and this week 14 and 15, are so far removed from modern experience that it's difficult to find a modern-day application. We're going back to another world. The readings, both weeks, speak to, for, and about communicable skin diseases. This week's Parashat Mitzvah specifically, chapter 14, 1 through 15, 33, alights upon mothers' postpartum quarantine, priests acting as medical inspectors, examining dermatological anomalies, priests examining and condemning properties, and more. It's tough to preach from because people wonder, what does this ancient text have to do with the modern world? It's a reasonable question. Unlike today, where we operate in a world that places a premium on distinguishing between the secular and the sacred, for example, the premium placed on separating church and state, as it goes, in the world of Leviticus, priests served in various capacities as agents of the theological state. There was no separation. In that regard, though they occasionally attended to sacerdotal functions like sacrificing animals or whatever, they also served as medical inspectors, building inspectors, and more. Priests functioned in another time and in another world, one far removed from our own. Challenges associated with bringing light from this ancient parasha to bear on modern experience notwithstanding, oddly for me, it was while I was working on this particular section of hard-to-tackle biblical literature that I, best I can recall, got my first aha light bulb moment as a young spiritual leader and exegete. Tough text, but I ran into something and had a wow factor. While wrestling with Leviticus and reading through the commentary of former chief rabbi of the British Empire, Dr. J.H. Hertz, I was struck by his treatment of Leviticus 13:1. Commenting on the skin diseases noted therein, that is leprosy, as typically construed, he informed, quote, "Some rabbis regard leprosy as a providential affliction in punishment for slander or talebearing, thus teaching that the slanderer is a moral leper and should find no place in the camp of Israel," end of quote. Though I'm not personally convinced that leprosy is a providential affliction, I was struck by a recollection that another Jewish sage, in this case Rabbi Shaul, also known as Paul, insinuated in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 18. Therein, in verse 16, he beckoned Timothy to, quote, "avoid godless chatter," noting in verse 17 that worthless, ill-spoken words will spread like cancer. Spreading like cancer is the quote. Closer to the actual Greek, other versions replace cancer with gangrene, given that Shaul uses the Greek gangrena, that is, the well-known skin disease denoting tissue death. I found him using bad speech as this disease interesting. Different renditions aside, different modern translations translate Paul differently, cancer, gangrene, whatever. Different renditions aside, we do well to note that with other rabbis, Rabbi Shaul correlated reckless speech with an infectious skin disease that starts off as a small infection, grows if left unchecked, and eventually consumes and kills the body as it expands. James says as much too. For his part, like Moses and Saul, he spoke to, for, and about the deleterious power of the tongue. In James 3:8, for example, he likened the tongue to a restless evil full of deadly poison. In so doing, James, or better Yaakov, of course, parroted the Jewish premium on avoiding Lashon Hara, that is, an evil tongue. His noting inherent problems with evil speech dovetails with the scourge associated with malicious gossip and misinformed speech noted in this week's Torah portion. Excuse me. In sum, for me, better understanding traditional Jewish interpretations and applications in Leviticus chapters 12 through 15 enabled me to better understand what a New Testament writer was saying in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Something I dimly saw in black and white suddenly burst forth in technicolor. The confluence for me is the power Jewish studies brings to bear on New Testament understanding. Refracting the good news through the eyes of the Jews is the benchmark of Messianic Jewish theology, something that I have been engaged in as a professor for 34 years. Bonding together as a community with a mind to creatively abide in both the Old and New Testament worlds, Jewish and Messianic Jewish, Gentiles, etc., is the trademark of Messianic Jewish congregational life, something that we abide in. We work with the good news through the eyes of the Jews and endeavor to live out the insights and implications together. That is Messianic Jewish community. Togetherness, of course, can be a little messy on occasion. Our movement is new and there's considerable variance amongst adherents. I encourage patience with one another, believing it best we grant others space to work out the essence and substance of Messianic Jewish faith and orthopraxy. I believe it's important to give grace, not just space. Sometimes we can be guilty of, how can I put it, Lashon Hara, evil speech, born out of an intolerance for variance. Have you ever heard of the inkblot test? A Danish physician named Hermann Rorschach asked individuals to describe what they saw when they observed ink splattered on a piece of paper in a clinical setting. Viewing a mushroom configuration on a paper, some, for example, described it as an atom bomb blast, a ping pong paddle, a mushroom, or whatever. There was no right or wrong answer. It's a projective analysis test with people eventually describing themselves by the things they are purporting to describe. As individuals proceeded through a variety of inkblots, patterns emerged on how they processed and evaluated images. I'm less interested in giving a psychological assessment lesson than I am in noting that individuals who are excessively and incessantly critical of persons, circumstances, or places do more to describe their own interior negative dispositions than the things they are purporting to describe. People who traffic in gossip about people they really don't know and about situations where they're really not privy to the necessary details say more about themselves than anything, and they hurt three people in the process. First, they injure their own humanity by trafficking in gossip. Second, they take a piece out of the person they are talking about. And then third, they injure the person they are talking to. In Proverbs 16:27, gossiping lips are likened to a scorching fire. And in verse 28, those with loose lips are referred to as perverse because they, quote, separate close friends. Lashon Hara, evil speech. For these reasons, it seems to me that our rabbis got it right when noting the deleterious effects of slander, much as Rabbi Shaul hit the nail on the head by likening bad speech to a cancer or gangrene that starts as a small blot and then destroys the body as it grows. Cognizant of this as I am, I'm reminded of the necessity to be more tolerant of theological variance, patient with those who don't think like me myself, and more guarded in the way that I speak. With Passover in view, permit me to remind of the necessity of taking out the old leaven, as Paul once said, Rabbi Shaul, in this case, the leaven of degrading speech, Lashon Hara. We want to build up and not tear down. There are lots of problems in this world. By following the principles noted in this week's Torah portion, I can better position myself to be part of the cure, and so can you.